We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and thank you so much to each and every one of you from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet today, tuning into this episode. If you're listening on the podcast, I want to encourage you to come over to the video version at masteryourlife.ca. I'm so excited to have with me today my guest, Elizabeth Wilhelm. And if I say your last name wrong, Elizabeth, just correct me. Elizabeth Waymiller.
Waymiller, yep.
Yeah, Waymiller, who's a coach and Vedic astrologer. So I met Elizabeth because I had some challenges that I was experiencing in my life and looking for. I've been to a few astrologers, but I thought I hadn't tried a Vedic astrologer, and some of the things that I had heard sort of aligned with more of my experience that I was having in my life. So a little bit about Elizabeth before we launch into that. When Elizabeth was in her 20s, she was struggling to understand her life and the reasons behind having experienced so many intense events that others had no grasp of and yet had to experience. It was during her first experience with a Vedic astrologer that she began to really understand her life journey, and it all clicked. Doesn't that ring true, guys? For lots of people who are tuning in, they're going, oh my, that sounds like me. So for Elizabeth, shortly after that consultation, she began studying Vedic astrology and found her passion. She wanted to help others who desire more insight, growth, and understanding of their own unique journeys. Elizabeth works with individuals all over the world, including business executives, entrepreneurs, professors, lawyers, and individuals in the entertainment industry, to name a few. Elizabeth's experience as a coach and trainer enables her to take the complex charts of Vedic astrology and break them into easy to digest, useful, relevant guidance and information. Her approach to Vedic astrology is practical, down to earth, and in depth. Her heartfelt approach allows her to look at each individual as the unique person they are. And she feels that a Vedic astrology is an underutilized tool in helping individuals achieve their full potential. To find Elizabeth's website, you can go to elizabethwaymiller.com. So that's ElizabethWeihmiller.com. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me, Leah. It's been a pleasure. It was a pleasure doing your consultation as well, but also just getting invited on your podcast and video. So thank you.
Well, I'm so excited actually for my audience to hear your wisdom because, you know, you're in your 30s, I think you said, right?
Yep.
Yeah. 30. And I'm in my mid 50s. And so like I'm still going, okay, master your life. This is about insight and challenge and inspiration to live a better life. But even when we're trying really hard to live a better life and to be good and make good choices and listen to our conscience, we still come upon these really crazy situations and circumstances that we feel like we didn't ask for.
Yep.
And so we just go, I didn't feel like I asked for this. Why is this happening to me? So that's why I kind of reached out to you, is because I have the continuous ongoing thing of extreme sorts of weird things that go that I can't reconcile, but yet I still need to deal with in some sort of proper way in my life so that I'm not kind of sitting in a closet, eating bonbons, you know, taking multiple medications and what,
yeah,
all those other things. So Elizabeth, let's talk about your experience, like your journey. What happened in your 20s?
So, you know, throughout life, you know, I started really young. I started, you know, we all lose grandparents, we all lose stuff, but I started with the first grandparent at a year and a half. My parents got divorced at three. So I went through all that trauma. And then I picked up, you know, a stepdad and a stepmom. Adored my stepdad. He was great. My stepmom, I have no kind words to say, but she was a learning experience. Absolutely. And it explained a lot. I got kicked out of the house at my dad's house at the ages of 7 and 9 for stuff that I didn't do. And who kicks a 7 and 7 year old and a 9 year old out of the house? After
Where
that, thankfully my mom came and got me and I went to my mom's house, who I lived with full time, but it was still one of those very weird, you know, situations.
7 years old is like grade one.
Yeah, exactly. You one, hear
grade three, just to put it in some perspective for people who don't have 7 and 9 year olds.
Yeah, very little.
Oh my God. That is crazy.
Yeah. So I was told I wasn't welcome back until I apologized. And I was like, well, I have nothing to apologize for. So I guess I'll just stay with mom full time. This is great. This is the dream scenario for me. I lost, you know, a couple more grandparents throughout those years before 8th grade. All my grandparents had passed. The big one was my senior year of high school. I lost my stepdad, who was truly like a dad to me. So I watched that, dealt with that. And that really was kind of a turning point, because I was like, oh my gosh, like all my friends have all their grandparents, they have all their parents, their parents are married, like they haven't been through this breadth of stuff I've been through. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Go into college, and I'm like, great, this works. Then in my 20s, it's like, what am I doing with my life? And we all have that, where it's like, what am I doing? Why am I here? What should I even do as a career? And I had a reading with a Vedic astrologer, and I'd kind of dabbled in Western astrology. And they were like, oh, you have all these friends, you have this great life. And like, yes, I have a great life. Even with the hard stuff, there's so many blessings. But I was like, why have I been through all this? And Western didn't show it. It didn't show the deaths. It didn't show the hard experiences. It showed none of that. The minute I had that Vedic reading, they were like, this is the stuff you can face. You can have some trouble with friends where like they seem to support you and then they turn on you. And I was like, yes, that's fine. Like, finally, this makes sense. And I just realized, I was like, okay, maybe I'll start studying. And the astrologer I went to was like, you can actually be an astrologer. And I was like, okay, I never thought of that as a career. Like, that's just not something you think of. And I just fell in love. It just clicked. It made sense. It just hit. And then as I finished that, I started picking up clients, and some of my clients that I work with on the corporate side, they were like, we'd love to use you, like, and, you know, be one of your first clients on the astrology side. And it's just kind of gone from there.
Fantastic. And so people who are listening might go, ooh, astrology, I don't want to listen to that, because that disconnects me from God in some way. And yeah. So can you just speak to that a little bit?
So I would say for like, you know, and I know that I personally not a religious person, but I respect everybody. I respect their religions. And the reality is God created you. God created the universe. God created the planets. So if you believe God created this, all God is doing is just giving you another tool to look at your unique blueprint, because we all have our own unique blueprint and why we're here and our purpose and what we're going to kind of go through in life, with the ability to say, hey, if you know in advance, you may be able to shift it a little bit.
Right. Exactly. So there is a great segue to the idea of fate, destiny, and free will.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. They say astrology is like,
oh, fate, your fate, that's all, you're destined to do that. There's no way to get out of that.
Yep. No. And you know, there are some things that it's just part of this journey on this life. Like, yeah, there's not going to be a way around them. And it's how you look at those events that's going to be the game changer. But there is that 30 to 40% that's free will. Like, I tell my clients all the time, if you hear something you don't like, if your chart says you can be extremely aggressive and overbearing and things like that, you have that free will to say, you know what? No, like, I just need to work to offset that and not come across that way and not have those reactions. So there is that beauty of both fate and free will.
Right. Fate and free will. So I think, yeah, and that's when people go, lots of people go, does that include prayer? Well, sure. You can pray, you can meditate, you can do whatever the practice is that you have. Maybe it's Qigong to settle out that angry energy or that Martian energy, but you can use your tools. You don't just have to, you know, be at the will of or the whim of kind of the energy that runs through your body. So let's talk about some of those things, Elizabeth, because this is like foreign speak to a lot of people.
Yes.
But why do, you know, what is it that the planets do to either influence us, or is it sort of a more of a metaphor for how we are in our lives?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you've got this planetary energy that can work in your favor. It can work not in your favor at certain times. And it's knowing, you know, the things that it can help you with. So planets, based on where they are in your unique blueprint, they can say like, hey, these are the careers you should focus on, or these are the careers like I wouldn't recommend because they're just going to be a struggle and harder versus these will come more naturally to you. It's even the same thing as there's periods in all of our charts where we have more potential to get sick, which if you know that going in, you can say, hey, let me eat healthier. Let me meditate more. Let me ground myself more. Let me get more sleep. Yep. It's just really, they're just another, it's almost another way to look at life that gives a guide. It's almost like that, you know, we all use guidebooks for new cities when we're going. We don't just like drop it. I mean, some people drop in and just wander, and those are the super adventurous type. And that's usually in their chart. But yes, most of us, we use our own guidebooks for new cities. That's all this is a different way to look at life. And it's insight. I always say I love taking skeptics and turning them into believers because I have had so many skeptics come through readings with me and they all walk away and they're like, well.
Right. Can you share one of those stories, Elizabeth? I think that the audience would love to hear that.
Absolutely. I actually have two. I have a very recent one. I started actually seeing somebody and they were like, you know, I want to support what you do. He's like, I have nothing, no clue about it. I can't say I believe it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. He's very science-based. And I was like, well, let me just do this for it. And he's like, I just want to support you. He's like, whether I end up agreeing or not, totally. And I was like, that's cool. As long as you respect me, we're good. I'm going through and he's sitting there and just going, uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, that's me. And I was like, do you like disagree with any of this? He's like, nope. He's like, I really wanted to like disagree with this. And I was like, but he's like, but I can't. And now I see why you do what you do and how amazing it is and the insight it gives. And I was like, okay. And then there was another client. He high up in a company, he did it because a bunch of his other people had done this in their coaching process that I do for corporate. And so he was like, you know what, I'll just do it. And he sits there and he's one of those people, you can't read his emotions. You can't tell what's going through his head. And you're just like, I'm like, great. This is, I'm bombing. This is awful. He's going to like not do anything with this. Turned out the woman, my boss on top of, was also in this meeting because it was her coaching clients she brought me in on. And he was like, hey, they were both going to be in New York City. And he goes, hey, can we have dinner? I want to give you some feedback about Elizabeth. And she's like, shit, like,
right.
Oh, no. I just screwed the pooch. This is going to be in trouble. And he's sitting down and he's like, you know, she's very professional. She makes it easy to understand. She's very practical and down to earth. And he goes, and she's like, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Like, and he goes, you should include this in every coaching session you do with every person you work with, because it's the most powerful information I've ever received. And for him, it was actually a huge turning point that finally clicked in on some of the feedback he'd been receiving from his boss of what he needed to work on. And she's like, I would love to do that, but like, there are people that aren't ready and you do have to be ready for it. So
that's so interesting because it's a being accepted in this sort of career aspect of things like planning for your career, or implementing it in your business so that you can make better business decisions, or even in the hiring process. I've seen in some businesses where they'll go, this person is a fit or isn't a fit. You know, yep. Good long-term employee, not so good. Who's going to be the troublemakers and who's going to, and sometimes you need the troublemaker, so that's okay. Yep. But lots of times the most expensive thing that we have in our life is our personal relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure people who are listening who've been through divorces of any kind or relationship problems, or to your point, all of the, you know, death of parents, death of grandparents, divorce at an early age. So those, the impacts in a person's life, and then the expense of those things, you know, so when your relationships don't work out and you're going, I don't know why, it's like, I put everything in, I really gave it my all. I thought I was doing, you know, everything, you know, in a sane, sober sort of way. Why do I either keep picking people that are, you know, not a match, or having this big blind spot in relationships, or maybe it's me, maybe I'm the one that is, to your earlier point, the person who's exploding all the time and got no patience.
Yep.
So what is it that Vedic astrology can actually show you that's a little bit different than Western? And then how can you use that to either heal your relationships or to make better choices going in?
So it's interesting. So there's a couple planets that when they're in, you know, there's a couple houses we look to for marriage, for relationships, both, you know, usually the relationship houses can be business or personal, but personal wise, you look at these houses and you say, hey, what's going on them? What insight does it give me? So there's some charts that I look at and I'm like, you can struggle in relationships until the planet that's in this house matures. It's not gonna, I mean, you're gonna have those fights. You're gonna potentially be divorced. Actually, you're most likely gonna be divorced. And again, that is free will because you can choose to stay. We've seen people over the years stay, obviously, but there are certain, with each planet maturing at different ages, Mars is one of the big ones that can be a contributor to harder relationships. And it's, there's a lot of people that have this Mars influence on their relationship houses. And if you end up with somebody that also has that influence, it crosses it out. So it's like takes it away. And it's like that double negative makes a positive almost, because you know how to fight against each other in a way that works. But some of it's just maturity. Unfortunately, some of it is divorce can just happen. Death. I've seen it in somebody's chart where in their chart, it was either going to be death or like betrayed by a spouse, which in my opinion, death is the ultimate betrayal. And they're like, oh, well, this makes sense why none of my marriages have gone past a certain number of years. I think part of it is you have to be open on this with relationships to accepting and enjoying each relationship for what it is in your life and what it brings you and the lessons it brings you. If you have a chart that says you're more prone to divorce, it's just going to be a thing. Maybe it's you don't get married. You just do long-term relationships without that ring involved or the legal side involved. We've seen people, I think a great example is Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, dated for years, had kids, got married, and all of a sudden it all blew up. That was in their charts. Like they should not have gotten married. They would have been better off staying just the way they were in a committed relationship without the legal side of it.
Right. Very interesting. Hey, so the synastry we should talk about too, because you can have your own chart done, but you can also have the chart of your mate or potential mate done just to see if there is a synchronicity between the two of you.
Absolutely. And that is one of the big things is it's looking for those spots where you have similar thinking or, you know, congruent thinking, even where maybe it's a little different, but it meshes because of how the planets align. There's always, when you're looking at compatibility, it is looking at multiple different points, multiple different things. It's even, you know, whether some believe or not, there can be past life connections that say like, hey, this person potentially in your past life was a brother or a sister or a parent or, you know, a spouse or whatever the case may be. And maybe this life, you have to be in that relationship to heal that life and work through so that you don't do it in another lifetime.
Right. Because who wants to repeat that stuff? The idea.
Right? Nobody.
Pain, betrayal, loss. Yes. And so, you know, some people seem to have kind of an easy life and then mm-hmm. some people have harder lives. Is that mm-hmm. also? And so who are the people who come to see an astrologer typically? Is that people with nothing in their chart or people who've got problems?
Usually I see the people that have the charts that have problems. It's not the ones that have, we always joke in the astrology community, the ones that have really, really good charts. They don't need us. Like they're not coming to see us. At once in a blue moon, you'll get somebody that's just curious. And you're like, you've got this great chart. Like I'm not saying you won't have struggles, but you got a really great chart. But overall, yes, it's the people that have harder charts. They have the harder houses involved in their charts. And it's just, it gives that guidance in a different way, a different objective way to look at things.
Right.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So from a celebrity perspective, who's one of the charts that you've read that would be somebody who had a hard chart, a difficult chart, you can see that playing out in real time?
I mean, I think a chart that has some hard stuff that, I mean, very controversial person right now, but in the US, it's Donald Trump has a chart that he's got some stuff going on that you can see the highs, you can see the lows, you can see over the years, you can see his bankruptcies and issues. You can see the, like, you can see his aggressive side where he just says what he thinks and no holds barred. So he's definitely one that's had, you know, some hard stuff going back a few years, more than a few years. Grace Kelly had a harder chart. I mean, she ended up with a prince, but she had a tragic death. I mean, just not somebody that you sit there and go, well, she's this. How could that happen?
Right. Do you know Jackie Onassis or Jackie Onassis Kennedy's chart?
Hers is another one that has extremes, extreme. So there's this thing in Vedic astrology called the Kalasarpa Yoga. And, you know, what it says is that the highs are really high, the lows are really low. But she also had it where when the nodes of the moon, they're not planets, you can't see them, but they do impact us and have play out. She had the nodes of the moon in her first and seventh house. And anytime you have that on the axis of the first and seventh, you've got a life that's like very fated destiny. So there's really no, you can try to do this, but it's going to do what it wants with you. So you can plan all you want, but she absolutely had a heart, and it shows in her seventh house, that potential for the death of a husband as well.
Very interesting. Cause I think that a lot of those people are very beloved and people in one way or, you know, whatever, maybe not Donald Trump, but I like him. So, you know, it's this whole, it's all perspective, right? You see people's fights with life and how they try to struggle through, and, you know, kind of, I see people's victories in things. And also it's like, how do you, if you look at people who've gone through bankruptcy, I think a lot of people are now having that experience, but they've never had that experience before. But because our economies in North America are pretty upside down right now for lots of people who've had lots of security, they're now going, ooh, I could be in the same boat as this other person over here. So can you use astrology to actually determine or look at sort of the life cycles of the planet or the, you know, countries on the planet?
You absolutely can. So, you know, it's what's called mundane astrology. So it's looking at the global impacts. Each country has its own birth chart. Sometimes it's harder to find the information on when they fully, you know, the timing of when they became a country, but the US, I'm pretty sure Canada as well, has a chart that they know the time it plays out. They've seen the events over the years. Overall, right now in the world, we're going through transits that just can indicate economic downturn. There is the last time we went through some of these transits and similar was, you know, if you think back to 1929, which in the US was a huge Great Depression. Mm-hmm. 1987 was another economic downturn. We have similarities to then. So it's not something, part of it with astrology is you can't let it freak you out to the point you don't leave your home. It's using it to be a guide. And like the thing that I don't love is the ones that use it to create fear. It's not to create fear. Right. It's also to give a heads up.
Yeah, to give a heads up and to so that you can actually even use it as a communication tool.
Correct.
You know, if you can show somebody your chart and they have a chart, it's actually almost a course for dialogue. You can go, oh, look at, I can see the challenges that you might have, and maybe I could help you to navigate around those things. Here's my challenges, or here's my opportunities. Let's talk about the opportunities that are shown in the birth chart, because there are also opportunities. And do they happen at certain times of life? So you were saying earlier that sometimes people, if they get married too early, that can be a problem. But if they wait till a little later, it can work out better for them. So maybe just let's talk about that whole stuff.
Absolutely. That's the great thing. You can see some of the bad, but you can see when's the best time to get married. You can see, you know, things as simple as, you know, if you need knee surgery, there's times that are better to have that surgery to help with faster healing, to help with less errors from the doctors, all sorts of things that if you don't know this and you say do surgery while the planet that rules knees is retrograde, you're going to take longer to heal. It's proven. Like, it's just, how long do you want to be out? You know, if you do it during Mercury retrograde, which we've all heard about, the doctors could have trouble communicating and that could lead to an issue. So there's things to look at, but marriage is a big one. People, there's good days to get married, bad days to get married. Based on your chart, there's good and bad days, and that can lead to the success or failure as well.
Right. Medical astrology is pretty fascinating stuff. So just even knowing how your body lines up to sort of the sign that you're in, does Vedic astrology collate those things, or like that certain signs are connected to certain parts of the body? Can you talk a little bit about that maybe?
Yeah, so it does. So medical astrology, absolutely, different signs relate to different body parts. different planets relate to different body parts. So then as you start bringing all of this together, you really start to see, okay, where could potential health issues be for somebody? Or, and there's some that, you know, obviously we haven't quite figured out how to avoid. But if you know they're coming, you can kind of offset the extremes of the issues.
Mm-hmm. It's it. What I thought was fascinating, and we haven't talked about it in my chart at all, but when I was from the age of 18 to 30, I gained 100 pounds. When I was 100 pounds overweight when I had my children. And then when I had my daughter, I was 30 years old. And it's like, I looked at the two of them and went, I cannot live like this any longer. And it was so easy to just flip the switch. Like all of the addictive behaviors around eating or self-soothing from being abused, like all those things show up in your chart too.
Yep, they do.
So abuse shows up in your chart. So one of the things, a little bit about Saturn return around age 30, but also protecting your children. If you do their charts, and you need to know time of birth, but you can look and see what potentially could be a problem for them. So it can be used as a protective resource also.
Absolutely, it can. And I think one of the things with children is it's also, it can be used, you know, helping them through school. It can be used. There are kids that just aren't naturally inclined to enjoy school. They're going to struggle. So if you know your kid's going to struggle, you're going to take a different approach as a parent than if your kid's just naturally gifted at math or whatever the case may be. So yeah, it can absolutely be a guide for your, for parents, for kids.
Oh, that's, yeah, very cool. I hadn't even thought about that, about the struggle in school. Cause that is real. The little peanuts, and lots of them just need to play and run around. And it isn't just the boys that have trouble settling. Lots of the girls do too. So that's an interesting take on it. So for people who are parents or contemplating being parents and are struggling, let's say the people who are contemplating being parents and are struggling with fertility, is that shown in the chart at all?
It absolutely is. It's one of the areas that, unless I'm personally asked, I do not go into, especially with women. It does show more in the female chart because we carry the baby. So it does show, again, if people ask me and they're like, I want the honest truth, Elizabeth, I will tell you, like, yes, you are going to struggle, or this is just not your path. Again, with enough medical, you can get there. But I've had numerous clients that just, they wanted kids desperately, and it just wasn't in the cards for them. And it's like, okay, at some point, you know, you can choose. I mean, there's plenty of other options if you can't do it naturally. But it is that's a hard realization to have. And it's a hard one to see in the charts. And I think as females, society so programs us that we should be mothers and we should be able to do this easily and it comes naturally. For some, it doesn't. And there's some that children isn't in your path. That's not your journey on this life. And that's okay. But it is a hard realization. It's not easy.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's maybe why it's not just astrology, but there's also coaching involved in the practice that you have. Yep. I think, yeah, critical. It's the same as in my practice when I'm talking about wellness with people. It isn't just about, well, here's the one path and the one diet that you can do. It's individualized approach as to how do you actually be well upon a complex health issues, you know? So it's very similar in terms of approach.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, this is maybe going to be difficult for you, but there's things that will be easy for you and we can see those too. So coaching, part of the strong coaches will also find the things that are your positive points and say, let's work on those things. When people are journeying through life, Elizabeth, and they're when they come to you after age 30, would you say that that's more typically your client is after age 30 or is it?
My clients kind of that 40 to 60 range. Actually, interestingly enough, I've had a few younger ones, but I would say overall, unless the younger people have been through harder stuff, they're not open to hearing advice yet. They haven't had enough pain points to trigger them to be like, maybe I should be more open or maybe this. But the women that I get, mostly women, I have a lot of men too, but the women are all be like, hey, I don't know if I want to stay in this career or I want to shift careers. Am I too old? Am I too this? And I'm like, no, first of all, you're never too old. Like do it. But it maybe you're at a point where you do need to shift careers, and the second half of your life is a different career and a different purpose. And we can see that. And those are the people that I seem to attract. But I also attract people that we have similar, you know, connections in our chart as well. So when we talk about compatibility, it works as well for working relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is fascinating too, that after age 40, maybe there's more of a desire to have less pain. And so you go, okay, what are the tools that I can have that will help to equip me to stay on the straight and narrow a little bit better? Because the world is throwing stuff at us all the time, all the time, every time we turn around, that isn't that hot for us in one way, shape, or form. And when you've got planets in certain houses, you can also have a really hard time discerning what's truth from fiction. Mm-hmm. You can have a hard time being your own person. So even people who are, you know, well-aged will go, you know what, I never knew who I was. Yep. So what's going on with that?
There are planets that, you know, whether it's in your actual birth blueprint that sticks with you, or it's in transits, different periods of our life, we go through different planetary periods, and that pulls energy from different houses. So you can see somebody for 18 years, they thrived in their career, everything went well, and then all of a sudden they switch into a planetary period and they can't hold a job. And they're like, what gives? Like, I had all of this. What happened? It's like, it was like a, you know, switch flipped overnight. Well, that's usually when we see a lot of people shift, or you can see someone struggle in their business for years, and then all of a sudden a planetary period switches and it takes off. So there's different, you know, I use the business ones because I see a lot of them, but that's the same with relationships. You can go through a 20-year marriage and then all of a sudden it's like you wake up one day and you're like, no, what am I doing? This isn't, you know, it's like the fog lifted. So there's different, there's a lot that goes into this between transits and planetary. It's just people try to make it simple. They love the sun signs, and quite frankly, those don't give the depth that astrology really provides. And that's what gives astrology a bad name, in my opinion.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Because again, as starting out, I think people see, first of all, Western astrology as like the little horoscope in the daily newspaper. And that's this whatever, same as opening up a fortune cookie from, you know, yep. whichever, not authentic fortune cookie place. So let's talk about the difference between like the sun sign in the Western chart and what you're teaching. For years, I thought it was a Pisces.
Yep.
For years, I thought I was a Pisces because that's Western. And, you know, that's how that all figures out. But turns out I'm not. And so there's a couple weird things there. And, you know, sun is all these aspects. And Pisces is all these weird aspects, too. So you think you're supposed to be wishy-washy and lost all the time and doing all these, you know, dark things and maybe going crazy at some point. Well, none of that sounds that great to me.
No. And that's part of it. So the sun sign is... The thing that with the sun is our personality. So it's what the outside world sees as our personality. It's not necessarily what we think of ourselves. In some charts it is, but mm-hmm. what we think of ourselves is going to be where your moon is placed, because the moon is our mind. It's how we think through things. It's our emotions. So if you want to read the paper, fine, but I'd prefer you not read your sun sign, because that's what the exterior world says about you. And then you've got the third part, which is your ascendant or rising sign, and that's who you are. So you've got all these different things mixing together, and I'll get these clients that, you know, they're so convinced and they're like, I'm this sun. And I'm like, yeah, but do you agree with any of this? And they're like, well, half the time I don't think it's true, and half the time I don't agree with it. And I'm like, okay. And then they come to me and they're like, oh yeah, that would make more sense. I mean, I'll take mine for an example. Like, I'm a Leo sun, and overall, most people are like, you're not, there's no way, Elizabeth, like, because it's the way my chart works. My sun is hidden in this like house that like, it doesn't come out, but my rising sign is a Virgo. And I absolutely, the minute I heard that, I was like, well, that makes so much more sense. Like, I'm methodical. Everyone always is like, you talk to everyone so easily. And like, there's these different things. But yeah, the sun is not the one that should be focused on. It should be the moon or the rising sign. Absolutely. If you want the easy approach, moon or rising sign, learn where those are in your chart and focus on those.
So what does the moon do? If the sun is the, what everyone else sees of you, what's the moon?
the moon is what you think of yourself. So it's how you view yourself. And it's not even, most people won't see you the way that you view yourself, or the moon has you viewing yourself. So it's our mind, it's our emotions, in terms of how we think of ourselves. And then it's got other, everything has other indicators as well, but overall it's how we think of ourselves.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So that's really a powerful, you know, way.
If it's afflicted, so if any of these planets are afflicted, it can change the way that you can access the emotion of the moon, because the moon's kind of emotional, right?
Yes, absolutely. If we think of the tides and the moon impacting the tides, it's that ebb and flow. Yes, the moon is definitely emotional.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because I'll look at people and go there, and I think it's great. Some people can cry really easily when they see something. My daughter's a really great example of this. I look at her and go, you're so emotionally spot on, because the moment something happens, she has the proper emotion and response to it.
Yeah.
In time. So it's like she'll get bad news about something. She calls the person and says, like, blah, 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 are you okay? And blah, blah, blah. And then she'll like all the love, love, love. And then she'll cry at the same time. Right. So she's got all this stuff, and she's like, her emotions are very fluid. And yeah. Me, it's like, I have to think about it before. And then I'll go, how, you know, the whole thinking through the level of feeling. So I eventually get to a feeling, but it takes a little bit. So not that I'm unfeeling, as some people who my kids would say, oh, it's like my mom with the red hair, she has no soul.
Yeah, my mom has red hair too. I've heard that.
I think it's a funny joke, but
it is. And you know, there are people that, based on where your moon is placed, your emotions aren't going to come more easily. They're going to be, there's either planets impacting it or conjunct it, that just, it takes a little bit more to dig them out. And there's some people that, you know, the way their moon is placed, I'm trying to think of like a famous example. But they just don't have emotions or feelings, and you're just like, wow, you are kind of soulless in a sense. And that's just how the planets come together. You know?
So when somebody has got that sort of, I would call it an affliction, when they actually don't have any feelings, that can lead to them not being compassionate about anything. So is that maybe part of the reason why we see that in the world, where there's, you know, kind of a disconnect between people in lots of ways over the last few years? And then we also see how we can heal that over the next few years by being purposeful, even if we struggle with emotions, or even if, as young people, I hear this a lot in my coaching practices, women who feel like they never had a voice, or little boy, even kids who feel like they never had a voice because they had an over domineering protective mother in some way.
Yep.
Well-intentioned, really smart, usually the mom, mm-hmm. and then some sort of but overbearing. So the child doesn't have that development of knowing who they are. And so when we've got this kind of, and I think that also happens in decades at least too, where there's a group of people that are kind of born within the same decade that will sort of have these similar aspects.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so that can be good, but it can also be like, we are individuals at the end of the day. So how do we individually, if we have a Vedic astrology reading, and we've looked at our sun, moon, and ascendant, and we sort of understand the patterns, what's the next most important thing to understand? Is that the age that you are, sort of understanding as time goes on, the things that might happen or change?
It's partially, I wouldn't say age so much. I think it's partially knowing kind of the planetary periods you're in, and the fact that, like, based off of that will indicate, you know, when things may shift, what's going to change. I think even, you know, it's kind of that joke, you know, the first step is realization and recognition.
That's right.
First step is, the minute you get a consult, like, I've had clients and I tell them, I'm like, you're going to hear some stuff you don't like, you're going to hear some stuff you may not agree with, but take it home, talk to somebody you trust, or think on it. And it's uncomfortable. Being honest with yourself is uncomfortable. Like, No one's going to say, hey, it's so comfortable being brutally honest with yourself. It's not. None of us like it. We're not programmed to like it. But if you do it, you then can take that next step and say, hey, what do I need to do next? How do I work around this? If you know you're completely unfeeling and you're in a marriage and your wife keeps being like, you show no emotions, you're unfeeling or whatever. And you know that, then it's like, okay, well, let me work around that. Like how it's communicating with people. It's being that open and honest and listening. That's that next level of the world.
Yeah. How could I explain to her that I actually have this barrier? And then how could I say, learn the love languages and fake it till I make it? But her may be looking at me going, I know you're faking it. Yeah. At least you're trying. So
exactly.
Like that would be a communication thing that might help in a relationship. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So with betrayal and, cause there's been lots of betrayals over the last number of decades, especially through relationship issues, whether that's in a marriage or it's parents divorcing, which is, you know, a leaving, you said parents leaving by dying. So in absentia, that you feel like that's a betrayal. Can you maybe talk a little bit more about what you meant by that?
Yeah. So, I mean, unfortunately, death is a factor of life on that part. And there's different times we can choose to exit in our charts. There's times where it could be really hard or transits. And you're like, hey, if I know this is coming up, I can take all the steps necessary to work to avoid stuff. I do not look for death in charts. I will say that unless the person has died, I will not look for it because I think it's a bit of that self-fulfilling prophecy. If someone knows, hey, this is the day I could die, I think it's self-fulfilling. There are plenty of astrologers, if people want that do that. I'm just not one of them for that reason. But there is this like sense in your chart that maybe part of your lesson is learning through that betrayal, you know, some of your strengths. So like, for example, through my stepdad's death, I learned what I was made of. I learned the resilience I could go through. I learned kind of more, you know, how to help other people that are going through it. And I would say, you know, like in my mom's chart, it showed in her chart, the death of a husband. She gained an independence and a confidence in herself. She didn't realize because so many people in relationships just rely on their spouse and become that they forget to like almost be themselves in that relationship because they turn into somebody else. So
that would be a problem in the birth chart too, though, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've been born at a certain sign, you're ascending in whatever house, you can actually have that really where you don't know yourself.
Yep.
Right. Yep. It takes a long time and there's lots of influence because you're almost like a sponge. So the people are chameleon like, because they can kind of get along with everybody in every situation and sort of, you know, go with the flow. But in doing that, they're often, I think, patted on the back for being able to get along with everybody. And it's like you can get a lot of accolades, but you really never, when you start kind of peeking your head out and going, well, this is actually who I am. Then the people who have been so used to you just going along with everything will go, what? Who is this? Whack-a-mole.
It's true. And there are people that have that ability. I think, you know, still a touchy subject, but I think COVID, everybody being stuck in their homes, there were a lot of people that realized they had a lot of time to sit and think because they weren't constantly out with friends and they weren't filling the voids and they couldn't. There was no way to do that. And it brought a lot of self-realization to people of like, hey, I don't like my job. I don't like the path I'm on. What else can I do? This isn't for me. Or, you know, this marriage, yeah, it was great when, you know, we were all doing everything and I didn't have to see him 24/7. But now it's like, what do I do? Like, are we good? Where are we going? Did we lose ourselves? So it's being brutally honest and it's being open. If you get a natal consultation to somebody being brutally honest with you, because there's no point in just coming and being like, I only want all the good, because that's not gonna help your growth.
Right. That's not spiritual. That's just a cookie cutter thing. Nope. So from a spiritual direction, trying to rally to whatever is in your chart and going, you know what? Some of this is great, thank goodness. And some of it's holy a Toledo. What? Mm-hmm. What was I thinking when I signed up for this?
Yeah, exactly. True. And I've had those people that are like, why did I do this? And you're like, that's a great question.
I thought I could do it, right? So I must have thought it. I must have done it because I thought I could.
Yep.
And so when you connect in that way and go, okay, Well, if I actually accept, if I said this was okay and I'm going to accept it for what it is, all right, then bring it on, but not bring it on in a like defiant sort of shake your fist at God sort of way, but just going, okay, then let me see if I can roll through this in the easiest fashion that I possibly can without hurting other people, correct, which is a big thing. Because if I'd have known what I know now about sort of the chart stuff, I probably would have rethought about some of the relationships I've had. Because I do think that you hurt people, they hurt you, you hurt them when you get in relationship with people and then it doesn't work out. Somebody ends up getting hurt, you know? So when you see these challenges, you can talk about the aspects really of what's challenging about them. Not just that it's tough, but why is it tough? Why do you keep picking the same people? Or why did they keep picking you? Like, why are you an open transponder beacon for the same sorts of difficult situations? Why do you show up untruthfully or maybe not clear in the beginning of relationships? And then all of a sudden you tell everybody about yourself about 6 months in, you know? So because there's that aspect too, where some people will disclose everything kind of first thing, you know, through the shoot, which is kind of an honest way of starting a relationship, but then some people wait for a really long time and don't disclose to their partner really all of the stuff, you know. And as you get older, that stuff gets to be more. There's more of it. Every decade, there's another bunch of stuff to share with other people, you know. Yeah. So it's an interesting challenge that one takes upon themselves. But it's much easier when you can kind of see what's coming. And what I think is funny also is you can show your chart to somebody else and explain some of your challenges. And some people will go, ooh, that's tough. Like, that's a tough one. And, right on, guess you're going to get through it. And other people will go, don't look at it. Just ignore it. Just like pray more. And go, okay, but is that actually going to help me? Because I've been asking God for a long time for some things, or asking to, you know, dream about things, have answers in your dream time. And sometimes that happens, but sometimes it doesn't. And it depends often too on your lifestyle. So have you allowed your connection with God to be what it's supposed to be? Or has it been kind of hijacked by your own behaviors, whether that's watching TV or drinking too much or smoking pot or whatever the million things are that people are doing now? That not connect you to your God, to God, to your wisdom and source, whatever you want to call it, big art bark in the sky, so whatever makes you happy.
I'm like, whatever you call it up there, it's up there. Pick your name for it.
That's right. It's around us all the time. We're connected all the time if we choose to be. So though, again, it's like the inside of looking at the chart and going, what are my challenges and opportunities here? It's like a good SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
And so that you can go, all right, I should avoid, you know, investing in whatever this, you know, 20-year relationship. If I can see that right now there's some behaviors in the other person that are, again, not corresponding to what it is I'm trying to create.
Yep.
So that sort of thing. So relationships are a big expensive area. What else are the expensive or areas that people come to you with? Developing talent or...
It's developing talent. I have a lot of people come and be like, well, I think I have this strength, or I think I have this talent. Like, I think I'm a good writer. And they're like, am I? Cause you can see things like that. So I think some of them come because of a lack of self-confidence in themselves. They come for that confirmation of what their gut's saying, but they can't quite trust it because they don't trust themselves. And so they get that confirmation of their strengths, you know. People come for like career. They'll come for best times to travel. There's times where like for your chart, it's great to travel and maybe not so great to travel for your chart. Mm-hmm. And there's times, obviously, you can't avoid some of it. So there's going to be that as well. But overall, if you're going on a big trip and it's a vacation, absolutely, there's going to be times that are better than other times to travel.
Right. And I can attest to that by some family experiences that you go, oh my God, that trip was so awesome. And then, oh my, that was so horrible. Every time you turn around, somebody else was getting hurt. You know, there's just all kinds of stuff. So my mom, when she was a young mom, she worked for many years in a local hospital. But she often would stub her baby toe and dislocate it. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tape it up and go to work. But I just think that happened, you know, kind of just early on when I was a child, and it didn't happen for a lot of years. and then happened again a couple of times and then didn't happen again. But this whole feet thing too is, you know, what you stand on, what you're grounded on. So is there any correlation between your actual anatomy in Vedic astrology? I know that there is a bit in Western, like the feet are attached to Pisces, the ankles to Aquarius, that kind of thing.
There are. So if you have like a lot of planets in a certain sign or a certain house, that's going to be the area where you're going to see the most potential for issues on the medical side. You know, and I do know some of it is, I'm sure you, Louise Hayes, like her book, I love her book, where it's like, okay, what's going on and what am I not facing right now? Like, so if your feet are having issues, it's that fear of moving forward or whatever. But yeah, astrology, absolutely. You can see like, okay, where are the potential issues? What might be issues? Okay, I constantly have feet problems. Well, it's in your chart. It's how you handle it. It's how you face it. Is there a fear of moving forward? And is your chart saying that you have trouble moving forward or have trouble with change or have trouble with new experiences?
What would be kind of the last takeaway if you had a wish for anybody who was considering checking out your Vedic astrology or any astrology? What is it you think that is the golden nugget that people get when they visit an astrologer?
I think the golden nugget is really that self-awareness. And that's the first step to doing anything, is just being aware and being open and, you know, coming into the experience and not having any set opinions or set viewpoints, and just listening and almost enjoying it. I record all my sessions so people can just enjoy. They can sit back and enjoy and be like, okay, I can re-listen to the recording again. So...
wonderful. So you guys can all check out Elizabeth Wine Miller, and you can check out the show notes at masteryourlife.ca. Thank you, Elizabeth, for being my wonderful guest this week. Everyone,
thank you,
love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.